we have not heard the messages before, but I believe each time we come together like this, the Lord always has a message for us. And sometimes when someone comes from another place to say the same thing you've been hearing and listening for years, somehow the Lord, you know, tunes your ears and it makes it new. Not because it's a new message, but because it's as an old wine in a new wineskin. And I'm trusting the Lord tonight that a few time that I have with you to share the word of the Lord will also open your ears and open your mind to receive what He has for you. I have nothing to give you. Personally, on my own, I do not have anything to give. Because you have not come to listen to my experience. You have not come to listen to man talk. You have come here so that God can talk to you. And I believe you will do it because He's a faithful God. So you will be talking to our hearts tonight. And I also want to thank this ministry. I learned it's more or less a prison ministry, and the Lord has been using our sister there. I got to know her just a few, maybe minutes or hours ago. And I'm encouraged by what the testimony I've heard coming from this beautiful ministry. I also want to thank the Lord for Dr. Miller. It's wonderful. We met for the first time in Africa. We used to have this quarterly conference. It's called a Cry Out Conference and also a magazine. The Lord has put in our care the publication of the magazine. This October is going to be 10 years, and the Lord has given us the grace to distribute it for free for everybody in Africa. And to the glory of the Lord, today, it stands to be one of the largest circulating magazines, free circulating magazine in Africa. The Lord has used it tremendously to encourage many, many weary hearts. Because the Lord, we have an outreach in many places in Africa, but we are actually based in Nigeria. Then we have an outreach in Ghana, where the Lord is using us to minister to people at the refugee camp. You know, most part of Africa, especially the West Africa, is always war ravaged. And if you listen to your news recently, you will discover that a country called Ivory Coast has been going through a turmoil for some months now. And I heard that right now, many people that escaped the war, some of them with one eye, some of them with one leg, some of them escaped without their family members, but they escaped and they were camped in Ghana. But the government just put them there, no care, actually by the United Nations. No care, no food, no nothing, no accommodation. And my heart was pricked last year when I went there and people were coming from Sudan. How they got to Ghana, I don't know. But I met them and I met this pregnant woman. She has like an 11-month-old baby in her hand, and she's also pregnant. And she has also about three other children with no one to take care of her. And I watched a woman, I've never watched a human being slumped down and die before in my life. You know, we're just there trying to ask questions from them. And I just watched as the woman slumped down, and nobody could rescue her because all of them needed help. I know there's no one to help them. And it's so disheartening sometimes that just equivalent of $1 can actually save a life. And I wish we knew that, then it will mean much to us. Each time I come to this country, I see a lot of waste. You go to the restaurant and the leftovers are just shipped into the, you know, and I look at it, say, it's not about me. I know many people are dying of hunger over there. Sometimes I wish I could just pack everything and just ship it over, you know, because people really do die. I've seen it several times. I've been there. I've been to several places over there. And I watch people, you know, die because of little thing. And also, the Lord has put into our care a prison ministry. We've been in Florida for the past few weeks, maybe 4 or 5 weeks now, and we're shown the jails, the prison around. When I tell you, the prison in this country, they're like five-star hotel in so many places in Africa. And I just wish that these people will come over to Nigeria. Last time when we had prayer conference, Dr. Miller was in Nigeria, but we had to go to the prison, the Oyo State Prison. We had to go there with some people, and Dr. Carter was there, and Dr. Baiwu was there, and Pastor Gloria. Yeah. And that was the very first time some of them would visit a prison in Africa. And I was looking at the expression of their on their faces, and it was something different. You know, they watched people, they were asking the question, are these people still alive? When you see people, you know, on the floor, you know, as good as dead, nobody takes care of them. Nobody gives them food. If their family don't give them food, nobody gives them food. Yes, the government is supposed to give them, but they don't give them. And sometimes when we go there with food, if you don't give the prison officials, you know, as much as they desire, then the food you go there with will not reach the inmates. So you better give the officials as much as they want, so that the food can reach to the inmates there. So I know that the needs are great all around the world, whether in the prison, whether in the prison in Africa, refugee camp in Ghana, and wherever corner of places in Sudan, and even here in the U.S., the needs are great. We can look around, we can look to Africa and look to Asia and think, oh, they need help. But I see more help here in America. I see that America needs more help than Africa needs help because of sufficiency and comfort. And that is the problem. You know, when you are filled up, you forget about God.
That's right.
You know, America is forgetting about God because the government does everything for them. The roads are paved and, you know, nice things, nice houses, you know, soft beds, and with here, and everything is just good. So what do you need God for?
Come on.
You know? But you know that in Africa, you need to depend on the Lord. You need to depend on God because there is no electricity, there is no water, there is no road, there is nothing. You got to look up to God to supply everything for you. But over here, everything is made up. The only thing you can do is to ask question why it is not done. After all, I pay my tax. You know, because you pay your tax, the government has a responsibility. So the government has taken over the role of God in this land.
Yeah.
So people no longer see God, they see government. And the government gives them everything.
That's good.
Just everything. Just with your car, you don't even need to have money in your bank. Just with that car, which has taken so many people into debt they cannot recover from, with that car, you can get anything you don't even want. People get more of what they don't need than what they actually need.
Come on. Yeah.
But I tell you, there is something this country needs, and that is God.
Yeah.
The nation that forgets God is dead while he's still alive.
Yeah.
We hear news of what's going on around here in America, how America is about, you know, bankruptcy and, you know, getting into debt and stuff like that. It's not. You see, any nation that forgets about God, God forgets about them.
Yeah.
Amen. And that is why, brethren, our gathering together here is precious in the sight of the Lord. We may not know why we are here. Sometimes you may ask yourself questions, oh, am I really in the ministry committing the little that I have into the things of God? But I tell you, one day someone will walk up to you in heaven and tell you, if not because of you, if not because of the $5, if not because of the $20 you gave me, I wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
Amen. So I want to encourage us tonight that there is hope in what we are doing. That the Lord reposes so much confidence in the little that you are doing. God does not need much. He needs your little. If you can be committed and give God the little you are given to him, that is all God needs from you.
Amen.
That's all he needs from you. And guess what? God is not asking you to go and win souls for him. No, he's not asking you to go and win souls. He's asking you to go and talk about him to people, and he knows what to do with them. As you are busy talking to people about Jesus, he knows what he's going to do with them. You are not to save them. He will save them. Yeah. If you could save them, you could have saved yourself first.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's turn our Bible briefly to the book of Galatians. I'd just like something to encourage you there. I've been in the prison ministry myself. I know what it takes. I know brethren have laid down their lives. Brethren have sold their properties just to make sure. I'm going to tell you a story of a brother. I know that so many things are strange here in America, especially if it comes when it's from an African origin. I'm going to share something with you briefly. And by the time you leave here, you will receive enough strength. You will receive grace. You will receive power from on high.
Yeah.
By the time you leave here, the Lord will refresh you. You will leave here with fresh fire.
Yeah.
And the Lord is going to be glorified in you. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm going to read quickly from Galatians chapter number 6. I'm going to read from verse 7. Galatians chapter number 6 from verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. I love that word. If we faint not.
Right.
There are so many reasons that can put you off and make you to faint. But if you do not faint, then the Lord, he sees your reward. Quickly, let's look at the life of a man called David. David was one of the children of the, he's one of the sons of Jesse. Jesse had many children, and he was a little boy, and he was sent into the farm to keep the sheep. Maybe he was disadvantaged in a way, but David did not have much advantage like his brother had. His brother had the advantage of going to school and going to military school to study this and study that. But instead of going to school, David was sent to the farm to take care of animals, to take care of sheep. But guess what? David did not say, why would they ask me to take care of animals when my brothers were going to school? That which he was asked to do, he did it with all his heart.
Yeah.
God was not there, his father was not there, nobody was there, but David acted as if everyone was there.
Yeah.
He was committed to what God has asked him to do.
Come on.
At a time, as he was keeping the sheep of his father, a bear came from nowhere.
That's right.
Instead of David to run for his life, instead of David to escape for his life, but David did not. David withstood the bear, he fought with the bear, and he killed the bear. He loved the sheep. He risked his life because of the sheep.
Right.
And nobody was there to applaud him. Nobody was there to clap for him and say, oh, David, that was something great. He did not even sing his praise. He didn't even know that someone was watching him. Another time, it was a lion. Lion came into the fold. He stood up because he had the spirit, the heart. He loved the sheep. He loved what he was doing. Even though they thought it was disadvantage, he had no. There's no reason why we should send him to school. But David did not look at that. He did what he was doing with all his heart.
Yeah.
And when lion came, he attacked the lion. He ripped off the lion and killed the lion and saved the sheep. And guess what? Someone was watching in heaven. God was busy looking for a shepherd for Israel. God was busy trying to see whose heart was so perfect that would lead the millions of people to generations and generations and thousands of years to come.
Right.
He didn't know that God was watching him. And when he did that, God decided in his heart, I'm going to raise this man up to be king. From the farm, from the village, he became the king of Israel. Not only the king of Israel, he became the most respected king in Israel. Even today in Israel, David is respected as the king that reigned and took Israel, you know, to a greater height. What am I talking about? Nobody was there.
Come on.
Nobody was clapping for him. The pastor was not there to say, "Oh, brother, that was wonderful. Did you go to the restroom to clean everything? Good." Nobody was there. Nobody was there to give him instruction. But he did it as unto the Lord.
Yes.
He didn't know that God was watching him, but God was watching. Brothers and sisters, whatever you are doing right now, God is watching you.
Yes.
Nobody may be there to clap for you. Nobody may be there to say, "Well done, brother." But God is watching you, and at the appropriate time, He knows what to do.
Amen.
He knows the doors to open.
Amen.
He knows the doors to lock concerning you. And I'm sure He will open doors for you.
Yes.
So continue in well doing. Whatever you are doing, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, please continue doing it.
Yeah.
It may appear as if there is no reward.
Right.
But please do it.
Come on. Amen.
Remember when I started the ministry, the Lord called me out of a church. I was pastoring a very large congregation of church, about 10,000 people. And the Lord called me out to stand alone, to begin to teach people. And it was so humbling. It was such a humbling experience for someone who's been preaching to thousands of people. And I began to preach to only my wife and my three children.
Wow.
And I couldn't imagine. I prayed and prayed, and the Lord said, "It is not in what you are doing, it is the faithfulness in what you are doing.
Amen.
It is not in the volume, it is in the heart." Amen. And as I continued, and the Lord began to bring ministry, and I could not imagine the type of people the Lord was bringing to my way. And I asked the Lord, "Lord, why do you bring people that have needs to my way? Why do I have to feed the people? Why do I have to provide food for them? People who are homeless, they don't know where to go. They don't know. They don't even know the next meal when they come for service. They don't even have the transport fare to take them back to where they come from."
Yeah.
And I said, "Why did you bring people like that?" Listen, God will bring some things your way because He wants to look at your heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, can you imagine this? The Lord in the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam, there was no animal. One day, Adam got a knock on his door. And as he was about to open the door, get what he saw? Animals. He saw the lions, he saw the hyenas, he saw the snakes, he saw every one of them. They never came before. Amen. Can you imagine you just open your door one day and all you see is wild animals? But guess what? The Lord did that for a purpose and for a reason. If you read, I do not have the time, you can go back to the book of Genesis and read it very well. You know, God was about to do something profound in the life of Adam. And he had to cause Adam to sleep so that he could perform some surgery in his heart. And when he woke up, guess who he saw? He saw Eve. Now again, Adam was in the house, and these guys began to knock his door. And when he opened the door, he saw all these wild animals. And the Bible says, and that's one of the most interesting places for me in the Bible. And the Lord sent all these animals to Adam to know what He will call them. The reason why God sent animals to Adam was not to scare him to death, was not to kill him, was not to, you know, the only reason was because God wanted Adam to give names to the animals. And the Bible says, whatever name Adam called the animals, that was the name they bear.
Amen.
So when the Lord opened the door of animals, of wild things into your life, through financial crisis or home crisis or so many crises in situations and circumstances, I wanted to know that God did not hate you.
That's right.
He is bringing those challenges to your way because He wants to see the name you call them. The name you call them is the name they bear. If you say that is your problem, then it is your problem. There is no problem that is yours. The problem belongs to Satan. It is never you personalize anything as your problem. It's not your problem.
Amen.
Amen. It is the name you call your problem, that is the name it bears. If you look at your problem and you say, "You don't scare me, The Lord has made my face to be stronger than your face.
Yeah.
He told the people of Israel, the Goliath you see today, you see them no more.
Amen.
And that's supposed to be our mentality when we are face to face with challenges that seem to be greater than us. The Lord has put a miracle in your mouth.
Yes, come on.
That stumbling block is actually a stepping stone.
Amen.
It depends on what you call it. The Lord will give the eyes of the spirit to begin to see that those stumbling blocks, they are stepping stones to take you to from where you are to where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
And the early part of the ministry, I began to ask the Lord a lot of questions. It got to a time we had to sell our cars to run the ministry. And the Lord said, I didn't ask you to do that. You know, commitment. The Lord will not show you the next step if you did not take the last step.
Right.
Faithfulness. It's got to be complete. When the Lord brought David out of the wilderness and made him to be king, people wonder, where is it coming from? But the Lord knew where it was coming from.
Yes, he did.
Faithfulness.
Amen.
Faithfulness.
Amen.
That's right.
And that's why I'm encouraging you with this verse of the Bible. Do not be weary in well doing.
Yes, amen.
Don't be weary. Whether you have a ministry that you do not even have people to run the ministry with you, do you know that it's a privilege to have people that see your vision?
Amen.
Sometimes you have a burning vision, nobody sees your vision. Nobody sees your vision. You wish the Lord opened the eyes of people, but the Lord is not opening their eyes for a purpose and for a reason.
Come on.
Praise God.
Amen.
I told you the other time, there is more need in this nation than all of the nations of the world put together.
Yeah. My God.
Let me quickly show you another place in Colossians, and I'm going to... Colossians chapter 1. I love this place. I love this place. And I know you've got a ministry. You're not here by accident.
Amen.
The Lord brought you. And guess what? The Lord reposes so much confidence in you.
Yeah.
There are places God cannot go, but He is satisfied because He has you.
Hallelujah.
If you disappoint God, you're not only disappointing God, you are disappointing destiny. So many souls are tied to you. If you fail, they have no chance. And that is why you must propose in your heart that you will not fail. It's not about you, it's about souls and destinies of people that are tied unto you.
Yeah.
You cannot afford to fail.
Amen.
Come on. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 2. It said, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and grace from God, peace from God, and our Father, the Lord Jesus. I love to share this place. Now listen to this in verse 2. To the saints and what? Is somebody there with me? To the saints and
faithful
brothers, faithful sisters, faithful brethren. Maybe some other translation can say to our faithful laborers. The first one is to the saints. Another translation, they call it believers. Saints are actually believers. Amen. So Paul wrote the epistle to the saints and faithful laborers. Do you know that in our churches today, we have believers and we do not have laborers?
The church of God
is not complete if it consists only of saints without laborers.
Come on.
Do you know what God is calling you out to be? He's calling you out to be both saints and laborers. It is laborers that get the job done. The believers can sit in the church and just occupy the seat, but the laborers go out to the field and bring fruits for the master.
Come on, that's right.
Fruits are planted in the field, and that is where the laborers are. The laborers are in the field. If you have laborers that are in comfort zone, that's what the Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. We must not be too comfortable with what we have.
Come on.
Saints are good. The church, where we come together as church, we are saints, we are believers.
Yes.
But if all we do is to be believers and saints, what is the work of laborers? Then the fruits are going to rot.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
There are so many fruits out there, brothers and sisters,
right,
and one is near you. One is at your place of work. There is a colleague of yours. It's a fruit that is ready for the master's harvest, but the Lord is looking for laborer, and you are the closest laborer. If you do not go, nobody will go.
That's right.
So God is not only calling saints and believers, He's calling faithful laborers. It is laborers that depopulate the kingdom of hell.
Yeah. Amen.
We got to be laborers.
Yeah.
And that's what we are doing. When we go to the prison to share the gospel, we labor with them. We're not just contented with being believers alone. If the Lord wants you to be just believers, the moment you give your life to Christ, then He takes you home.
Right.
The reason why He spared your life is because He got a job for you. He has a work for you. And He's waiting for you. Oh, maybe you are telling me, oh, preacher, maybe I am waiting for the Lord for the anointing and for power. I'm waiting for the Lord to empower me. And guess what? And God says, I am also waiting for you to take the first step.
Come on. Yeah.
God is waiting for you to take the first step. He's waiting for you.
Amen. Yes.
The reason why He's blessing you is because He's got a purpose for your life. The reason why you're alive is because He wants to use you.
Amen.
He's not keeping you. Guess what? It's going to be too costly on God's side to just maintain you, and you do not have anything to add unto Him. It's too costly. It gives you food, it gives you shelter, it gives you a good job. For what? You've got to be productive.
That's right.
Amen. My wife and I, we keep a poultry, and we keep a large poultry, about 2,000 chickens there. We're rearing them. It's not because we love poultry. I don't love chickens. I really don't love them. The only reason why I love them is to eat them.
That's right.
I showed Dr. Miller the last time he came to our house, and we invested so much money in this business because, you know, in Nigeria, you've got to do something, otherwise something's going to do you. Amen.
Right. Right.
So we got these chickens, and we're expecting the chickens to lay eggs so that we can sell the eggs and make profit.
Yeah.
That's a smart business. We've been doing it before, and it's given us little profit. So this time we say, okay, let's do it more. So we invested so much money and put so much things and stuff. And guess what? The chicken refused to lay eggs. I went before the Lord, God, what did we do wrong? God, we can't eat all this. Even if we have to eat them, we can eat everything. 2,000 chickens. Praise God. And we waited on the Lord, and it got to a time, it appears as if they were not improving, and we sold them off. We have to just sell them off. Why did we do that? It's not because we love chickens. We love the eggs. But now they are not producing the eggs, we don't need them. If there are chickens that don't lay eggs, then we don't need them. It's right. The eggs we need. It's the eggs that brings the money. Now the eggs are not coming. So why do we keep them? Why would God keep you if you're not productive to Him?
Come on.
Why will He continue to spend money on you every day? He gives you shelter, He gives you a car, He gives you everything. He gives you nice health, I mean everything. Why will He continue to spend so much money on you? The only thing the Lord is asking from you is fruit. Jesus walked one day to a fig tree. He was hungry, the Bible said. And He got to the fig tree, he was so happy he could get a tree. And he ran there, expecting to see fruits from the tree. Imagine if you're hungry. I don't know if you have never been hungry before. If you have been hungry before, every food tastes good.
Amen.
Amen. Remember the first time I came to the U.S. I've never been to America before, and I was so traditional. That was some years ago. I was so traditional. I couldn't eat any other food except my local food. And when I came around, I went to Florida. And these people don't even know anything about Africa. They don't know nothing. So all the food they were giving me were American food. I never ate American food before. And I couldn't eat them. For 3 days, I starved myself because I couldn't eat the food. And they begged me, please, I'm sorry, I just can't. And the closest, they took me to, and we looked for an African restaurant, Nigerian restaurant. There was none. But it got to a time I knew I could not continue to go on hunger strike.
Yeah.
I was so hungry, and they asked me, do you want to eat? Yes. What food? Any food. And when they brought the food, I did not even think whether it was a Nigerian food, American food, the Spanish food, the Mexican food. I ate everything. Whether I was swallowing it or I was chewing it, I didn't even know. I had to eat everything because I was so hungry. Imagine Jesus. He ran to this tree expecting to see fruit. And when he got there, nothing.
That's right, he cursed it.
But I can explain. What explanation do you want to give to a hungry? Do you know the problem in Africa, especially in Nigeria, is because many people are so hungry. They are so hungry, so they are taken to arms. They are taken to robbery. Because they want to survive. Some of them have multiple college degrees. There's no job. So Jesus got to this tree and he looked in utter disappointment. No single fruit. And what did he do to the tree? He cursed the tree.
That's right.
And no one ever.
That's right.
Ever. I don't care how big the tree is, how tall, how green. If it does not have fruit, it's not a good tree.
That's right.
Oh, but you see, what about the birds of the air? They used to have their nest in it. It's good for the animals. It's an ecological control for so many things. In God's equation, tree must bring forth fruits.
That's right.
You are a tree. I know that you are green. I know that your leaves are so green. You're active in your church. They know you, you go up and down, you do everything. But the question the Lord is going to ask you when you stand face to face with Him, do you have fruit for me?
Right.
If you do not have fruit, it does not matter how big you are. It is not about the size. It's not about the lushness. It's not about the beauty. It's about the fruit. Do you bear fruit for Him? He is only looking for fruit.
That's good. That's right.
And he's waiting to take the fruits that
right.
you give to him.
Right.
The Lord is waiting on you. Will you disappoint him or you will give him fruit?
Right.
You've been toiling and laboring. I remember when we went to the prisons many years ago, we met a brother there who had been sentenced to death by hanging. That was a final court verdict. He actually murdered his father. He killed his own father. In a mysterious circumstance. I cannot go into details here because many people may not understand. I don't want to go into so much explanation here. Some things are strange and weird in Africa, I know that. This guy actually went to the jungle to kill some animals, you know, games. And an antelope came and he shot at the antelope. And when he shot the antelope, it became his father. That's weird, isn't it? He shot an antelope, and the antelope turned in a mysterious circumstance to be his father. And he swore that it was an antelope he killed, not his father. And the court did not understand witchcraft or stuff like that, so was sentenced to death. So we met him in the prison, and he was the son of the Islamic cleric in his town. He was a Muslim, a very, very strong Muslim at that. And we met him during our prison ministry, and somehow he gave his life to Christ.
Amen.
And we began to minister to him, you know, to talk to him about Jesus. And over the space of 7 years, this man changed. He actually changed his name to Paul. You know, he became very sound. And the Lord began to move in our heart to go to the governor of the state. And we wrote letters to the governor. We went to the court. We went to our proper places that we're supposed to go to. And, excuse me, his death sentence was converted into life imprisonment, which was better. I mean, life imprisonment is far better than death sentence.
Yeah.
And the Lord pestered us, do it more. We went to the governor again, and his life sentence was converted to 30 years imprisonment. From 30 years to 15 years, from 15
right.
years to 2 years,
all
from
right.
2 years to state pardon. He was set free. He was set free completely by the state government. I still keep the letter of his freedom signed by the governor of one of the states. We went there personally. Guess what? If it's only one soul in your lifetime, oh, if only one soul you can get to heaven, please do it with all your heart. It's worth it. If Jesus can leave all the beauties in heaven because of us, why can't you do it for someone else?
Amen.
That's right. Be strengthened this night, brothers and sisters. The Lord sees your labor. It is not in vain. Don't be weary. Things may appear to be more challenging, but guess what? Do not lose heart.
That's right.
There's nothing you do that the Lord does not take record of it. He's a faithful judge.
Amen.
At the right time, He knows what to do. Be encouraged. You know, when you go to jail to minister to inmates, please, I want you to have it at the bottom of your, you must go with leading and not with boarding. You know, many times I ask people, some people come to me, oh, pastor, the Lord is sending me to social ministry and say, are you going there because you have the boarding or you have the leading?
That's right.
There's a difference between the two. Okay. In the New Testament, Paul had a boarding for the Jews, but the Lord did not call him to the Jews. The Lord called him to the Gentiles. And Peter had boarding for the Gentiles. The Lord did not call him to the Gentiles. The Lord called him to the Jews. And Paul labored. And guess what Paul said? He said, I wish I was accursed for the Jews. If he asked the Lord to accurse him because of the Jews, the Lord could do it, but the Lord did not call him to them. He will spend 35 years laboring on what God did not ask him to do. And that's the most important aspect of ministry that I tell people. You must hear clearly, it is not because you have the boarding, you must have the leading.
Right.
And each time Paul went out to the Jews, they will go to their synagogue, they will beat nonsense out of him, at the time they stoned him and they gave him up for dead. Remember the story? And let me tell you, when the Jews stone someone and they say that person is dead, he is really, really dead.
That's right.
When the Jews stone people, they are professionals. They stone this guy and they gave him up for dead. And when they left, Paul rose up. How did he rise up?
God.
It's God.
My God.
When the Jews stone someone and they say the person is dead, he's dead. But no sooner they left, he rose up. And from that time, he shook off his hands. He shook off his leg. He said, from today, I will never come to the Jews again. I'm going to the Gentiles.
Amen.
That was when Paul's ministry began to have a meaning. Yes. That was when Paul began to write the epistles that we are reading today.
Yes, amen.
That's
right. Where is God sending you to? Paul sent Peter to the Jews, but he loved the Gentiles.
Yes.
Maybe because in Acts chapter 10, the Lord asked him to go to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And he thought, oh, maybe God wants me to go to the Gentile. But no, it was the Jews.
Right.
Where is God sending you to? You must settle with God. If I ask Dr. Miller, please, can you do this for me? He said, oh yeah, I'm going to do it. And this, my sister here, where she's supposed to do, she can't do it. And Dr. Miller said, oh, I'm going to help you. He leaves his home and he tried to help her. And the master come. Hey, Miller, what's wrong with you? Did you finish your lot? I can explain.
Yes.
She's so boring, I need to help her. God is not going to say, oh, you are a faithful and good man, helping your brother, helping your sister, and you live in your own. What is God asking you to do? Don't leave your duty posts to help someone else. Because God is going to help ask you what He has given unto you. To whom much is given, much is expected. The Lord is not going to, you're not going to tell the Lord, Lord, I really wanted to do it, but I needed to help my sister. No excuse. So we must know what the Lord is asking from us, and we must do it. And when you know what the Lord is asking from you, do it with all your heart.
Right.
Do it with all your strength.
Yes.
That is your life.
Yes.
Come on now. Thank you.
If you spend all your lifetime achieving God's purpose in your life, it's a well-spent thing. Many people run around for decades upon decades, running around on ministry that the Lord did not call them into doing. I was pastoring for 7 years, and the Lord said, I didn't call you to pastor. So what do you mean? Testimonies, the church is growing to the glory of God. People are coming, two services every Sunday. Thousands of people. God must be kidding. The Lord said, no, I'm not. I didn't call you to pastor. I called you to teach. Oh, what's the difference? Pastoring and teaching. What's the difference? There is a difference.
Preach.
Yeah. There is a difference. Preach. You must hear clearly from the Lord. Yeah. God, is it you? Paul had to settle with God on the way to Damascus. What do you want me to do? It's a direct question you need to ask God. What do you want me to do? And once you know what the Lord is asking you to do, do it.
That's right.
Thank you. The Lord may not ask you to pick up the microphone. Maybe what the Lord may just ask you to do is look at that, my daughter. Look at her ministry. Yeah. All I wanted to do is to support her, and that's all.
Yes, that's right.
But God, I have more passion. I want to preach. Silence. Because He has not called you to preach, He has called you to support.
That's right.
And wherever she goes, her account is credited, and your account also is in credit.
Yes.
You are doing it together.
Yes.
Dr. Mila is coming to Africa this year.
I know you are not coming.
Yeah.
You are not coming this October, are you? No, you are not.
He's coming to Africa. And I say, oh, but I can't go to Africa. But someone can go. It's either you go or you send something to go. Dr. Miller, I'm sorry I cannot go to Africa, but take this. It will be useful for you, for someone there.
Yeah.
Whatever souls the Lord brings unto Christ through His ministry, you are also there.
Yeah.
You are partner with Him.
Right.
So you can go all around the world without leaving your comfort zone.
Amen.
And that is what the Lord is calling us to, brethren.
Amen.
And I just want to encourage us that we should not be weary.
Yeah.
The Lord is calling you as saints. Believers, He's also calling you as laborers. Laborers don't stay in a comfortable. Have you ever seen technical people before? My wife and I are architects, and we design buildings, and we go to construction sites. I love the construction site. I love to go to construction site. And when you go to construction site, you don't go to construction site with ties and nice suits and nice shoe. You go to construction site. No. Laborers,
amen.
They go to the field. They are looking for fruits.
That's right.
There are so many fruits that are ripe enough around you.
Yes.
Your relatives. The Lord said He's going to save you with your household.
That's right.
What about your uncle that is not yet saved? What are you doing about him?
Yeah.
What about your children? What about your parent?
Yeah.
The Lord wants to save them. But the Lord will not send someone from Asia to come and save your mother when your mother is just next door to you.
Amen.
He wants to use you.
Right.
God used me all around the world. And God said, I'm not going to use you all around the world. I'm going to use you in your house.
That's right.
But my house is difficult. My mother, my father is difficult. If you cannot win your mother and your father for me, you cannot win people in faraway places for me.
Amen.
You say you love God whom you don't see, and yet you hate your brother whom you see. How does that work? You want to be a world evangelist, but you cannot evangelize your neighbor, your colleague at work, your friend. How come? The Lord has given you the grace you need. He's there with you.
Amen.
Speak the word. He will do the rest.
Amen.
Tonight you receive fresh fire.
Thank you.
By the time you leave here, I want you to leave here with fresh fire.
Yes.
Just like Peter. Three times he denied the Lord and his master. A small girl came to him one day. Oh, you. I've seen you with that man Jesus before. You must be one of his disciples. He said, no, I didn't know him. I never met him before. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. And after some time, another guy came, the officer in the court, and he said, oh, I know you. By your accent, I can tell you're a Galilean. You're a disciple of Jesus. Said, no. I don't even know what you're talking about. Maybe the guy changed his accent. I don't even know what you're talking about. The third time, and the court cried, remember the word of the master, you will deny me. But guess what happened? When power came on Peter, the same Peter that was running away from the maid, a small maid, he was running away, was shivering. But when the power came, Peter went out and preached the gospel, and 3,000 people gave their life to Christ because the power of God was on him.
Yes, amen. Amen.
That is what you need.
Amen.
When the power comes,
barriers
break. The reason why you have not been able to witness to your colleague at work, to your parents, to your children, is because you lack the power. And that's what we want to pray about tonight. We are going to receive the outpouring of power tonight. What you have not been able to do before, when the power comes, you will see the supernatural strength of God. You will be able to do it. It's not going to be about you, it's going to be about him. It's not about what you can do, but what he can do.
Right.
And he wants to do something great through you. The Lord is waiting for you. He's waiting to do something. There are souls out there waiting for you.
That's right.
And the Lord has empowered you. He has given you everything you need.
Amen.
Everything. But you are not giving him fruit. Tonight, I want to pray with you. I want us to pray together. In this ministry the Lord has called you into, the Lord is putting confidence in you. He's depending on you. He will not come down from heaven and do the work. He has given it unto you. What you need is power. What you need is power. I just want to pray with you if you give me the opportunity tonight. I just want to pray with you that for the release of power in your life, you need the power dimension.
Yes.
When the power comes, when you speak, the Lord does the conviction in the heart of the people.
Amen. Amen.
I want to pray with you if you give me the opportunity. We are partners. I know what it means to work in the ministry. I know what it means to labor and labor. But you just don't have to be weary. Number one, you got to know your calling. Is it by boarding or by leading? If you're there and something tells you that you need the power, I want to pray with you. If you rise up for a moment and we'll pray together, I'm very sure that the next time I come around here, you are going to give testimony.
Amen.
Yes. Because this is what the Lord is doing right now. The Lord wants to use you to reach out to so many people around you. But he knows you're timid. He knows that you can do better than what you are presently doing. If you just raise up your right hand with me, and I'm going to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to come out or anything. We all need the power. There's no point asking who needs the power. We all need the power. The Bible said they were together at the upper room, and suddenly the power fell from heaven like cloven tongues of fire, and they began to speak in tongues. And that is what we need. And boldness came to Peter. Peter was afraid of a maid. He stood in the presence of thousands of people and he confessed to them that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
By faith, I want to raise up that right hand.
Yes, Jesus.
Because we are going to have that power dimension in our life tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, we just need it. Yes, I see so many, I see sickness in this land. I see people that are bound in this land. I see souls that are waiting for harvest in this land. I see many people who are lost in this land, and God is waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He has given you everything. He wants to eat of the fruits that comes from you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh Lord, send a fire right now.
Yes.
As it was in the days of Pentecost. Send a fire right now. Send a fire right now. Brothers, I want you to lift up your voice to God. If you can speak in tongues, I want you to speak in tongues and begin to ask for the outpouring of the power. Yes, he is generous. He wants to give you the power. Yes, you need it. You need it. He has given you power to heal sicknesses and diseases. He has given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He has given it to you. You need to begin to manifest that power. Oh, the Lord wants to improve your finances so that you can help the kingdom of God. The Lord wants to improve your finances. He wants to give you sound health so that you can do more for Him. Yes, the Lord wants to bless you with sound health so that you can be more productive to Him. Yes, that's what He wants to do.
Thank you, Lord.
If you're here tonight, and you are not consciously giving your life to Christ, maybe you want to do that. I want to pray with you. You have not given your life to Christ. I want to pray with you. If you just wave your hand at me, if I see that hand, I'm going to pray with you. You have not given your life to Christ, and you'd love to give your life to Christ. It's an opportunity tonight. Just wave your hand. If I see that hand, I'm going to pray with you. There's anyone like that here, I'm going to pray with you. Otherwise, I want you to just begin to ask that pouring of the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we give you grace, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, as I stretch forth my hands unto your people, O Lord. Lord, let there be transference of power, O God. Power from on high. I release unto you the power that you need to tread upon serpents and scorpions, to break bones of wickedness, to heal the sick. Power to go out to where the sinners are and break the power of sin in their lives. I release the power into you right now in the name of Jesus. I release that power into you in the name of Jesus. The Lord wants to eat the fruit that comes from you. Will you give Him the opportunity? He's looking for laborers. He's recruiting. He's looking for people who will go with Him. Who will start in their homes? Who will talk about Jesus? Not those who will want to bring people to Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you for what you have done tonight. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the outpouring of your power upon us. We will never be the same again. Strengthen your people, O God. Strengthen your people, O God. Strengthen your people, O God. Strengthen their hands to begin to do great and mighty works for you, O God. Lord, I come against every powers of hell, every princes over this county. I come against principalities and powers and thrones and dominions, territorial forces. I bind them up and cast them out into dry regions, and I forbid their return. I forbid their revenge. I forbid their retaliation in the name of Jesus. I speak destruction to every works of wickedness. We receive power. Can we give Him a wave offering?
Yes.
Can we give Him a wave offering? Or we give you praise, Lord.
Praise.
We give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you. Yes, I want to go in the strength of that power. That is a deposit of power in you. Go and bring fruits for Him. The Lord bless you. Thank you.